Hello and welcome back to Impacting Your World. I'm Apostle Debbie Viggs. Let's get started with our Colossians prayers, Colossians 1, 9 through 14. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning to thank you and to give you praise and to give you all the glory and honor. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your love and kindness towards us. We thank you, Lord, that daily you load us with benefits and we receive those benefits this day. And we give you praise, for this is the day that you have made and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And so, Lord, we come before you this morning to pray this Colossians prayer over ourselves. From the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray and to make a special request, asking that we may be filled with a full, deep, and clear knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom and comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of your Lord God, and in understanding and discernment of spiritual things. I pray that we may walk and live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of your Lord, fully pleasing to you and desiring to please you in all things, bearing fruit in every good work, and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of you, Lord God, with fuller, deeper, and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. I pray that we may be invigorated and strengthened with all power, according to the might of your glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy. And I give thanks to you, Father, because you're qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people in your life. We thank you, Father, that you've delivered and drawn us to yourself out of the control of the dominion of darkness, and you've transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of your love, in whom we have our redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus with thanksgiving. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, praise God. This week we are talking about restoration and the power of a new life. God has had me in this space of dealing with restoration, that God is a God of restoration. We looked at that last week. We looked at the fact that he wants us to be whole. When we talked about the covenant of peace, covenant of shalom, meaning that God wants us to be whole, he wants us to be complete, nothing missing, nothing lacking in any area of our life. And so one of the things that he wants to do is to restore us to, you know, what we were originally meant to be, not only physically, but he also wants to restore to us the material blessings that he designed for us to have whilst we're here on this earth, as we serve him as ambassadors for Christ. And so our foundation scripture for this week that we are using is in Isaiah 58 and verse number 8. Isaiah 58, verse number 8, it says, "Then shall your light break forth like the morning, and your healing, your restoration, and the power of a new life shall spring forth speedily. Your righteousness and your justice and your right relationship with God shall go before you, conducting you to peace and prosperity, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard." Now, this, of course, is speaking in the context of the type of fast that God wants us to do. He says the fast that we do, those types of fasts, the fastings that we do are not going to make a dent the way we do it. But if we follow his type of fasting, this is what will happen. So part of one of the ways of being able to get it correctly positioned to receive restoration from God is by going through a fast, the fast that he has chosen. And the fast that God has chosen is one that we are told that, you know, it's to break down, it's to break all the strongholds that are holding us, you know, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every enslaving yoke. We are told this in verse 6. And so, you know, just having knowledge of, you know, the fact that God wants us to wants to restore to us everything that has been lost or stolen from us is not enough. We do have to actually add fasting to this. And so in the month of June, our monthly fast, our mid-year fast is coming up, our 21 days mid-year fast, and we're going to be focusing on healing and restoration in that particular month. So if you're interested in participating, you can email us and we'll add you to our fasting list, and we'll be sending out information this week about that fast. However, you know, going forward here, just so you have this information and know, it is the fact that there's some areas of restoration that I want to talk about, because God is longing to restore abundant life to us. Jesus in John 10:10 says that I came, they might have life in abundance to the full till it overflows. he's talking about the Zoe kind of life, and we talked about that. You know, Zoe life is the life that Jesus wants to give us. And it's not that he just wants to restore abundant life to us, to, you know, not just to the former state, but to a greater measure than we have ever known. You know, so he doesn't want to just bring us back to the original condition, but to a greater measure. He wants to restore us to a greater measure than we have ever known. So we need to look at some areas based on the Word of God, how God works his restoration in our lives. And once these areas are corrected, that's what will give us the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. Now, for now, we'll just briefly look at some of the areas, and then as we go forward, we'll go deeper into those areas. Like I said, we're right now in a space of restoration. God is speaking restoration. Restoration is key right now for this hour, and so that's what we're going to be looking at. Last week, we were in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, which says, "So repent, change your mind and purpose, turn around and return to God, that your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean, that times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of heat, of reviving with fresh air may come from the presence of the Lord." So times of refreshing and restoration, what God wants to give to us. He wants to restore, you know, he wants us to have these, to experience times of refreshing instead of going through attacks all the time. Now, let's go this morning to Galatians chapter 5. This is the first scripture that we'll use, Galatians 5 and verse number 1. It says in Galatians 5, verse 1, "In this freedom, Christ has made us free and completely liberated us. Stand fast then, and do not be hampered and held ensnared, and submit again to a yoke of slavery which you have once put off." So we see that it's speaking about, you know, getting rid of this yoke of slavery. Now, if you recall, in Isaiah 58, one of the conditions of God's fast to remove the enslaving yoke. That's what we were told. He doesn't only want to loose the bands of the bonds of wickedness, and then to release the bands of slavery, but to remove that enslaving yoke. That let me go back to verse 6. It says, "Rather, is not this the fact that I have chosen to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every enslaving yoke." So that the fast that God chooses, that's what it produces, and that's what it's designed to produce. And so here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, we read, "In this freedom, Christ has made us free and completely liberated us. Stand fast then, and do not be hampered and held ensnared, and submit again to a yoke of slavery which you have once put off." Now, in NIV, it says it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So when God is dealing with us in the area of restoration, one of the things that he desires is for us to be free. He longs for us to be free from whatever chains have held us in bondage. Now, these chains could be sickness, could be death, whatever the chains are, that, you know, stagnancy, so many different areas, you know, of chains, you know, ungodly soul ties, all those different things. And so he longs for us to be free from whatever chains have been holding us in bondage. Now, you'll find that both in the Old and New Testament, God has proven this pattern to be so. If you remember the people, the children of Israel, for example, you know, they cried out to God in agony when they were enslaved in Egypt. And we're told that God heard their groanings and remembered the promises that he had given to their forefathers. So when you read the book of Exodus, it's very interesting to see that, you know, at this particular time, you know, they had gone into slavery. God had spoken to Abraham, and he had told him that the people, he promised to give them the land of Canaan. But before they did that, they would go into a land that, a foreign land that didn't belong to them, and that they would be in that land for 400 years. And when the time had come, the Bible tells us how God heard the cry of the people. That's when he decided to send Moses. He said he heard the groaning of the people and, you know, their cry after 40 years. And so he began to, you know, he sent Moses to be their deliverer. He says in verse 7, in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, he said, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters and oppressors, for I know their sorrows and sufferings and trials. And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand and power of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a land good and large, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land of plenty, to the place of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite." So we can see the pattern. We see that God's pattern is of restoration. And one of the first things that he wants to do, even in the with the children of Israel, he needed first to deliver them from this yoke of slavery or this bondage of slavery that they were in before he actually, you know, brought them into this wealthy place, into this land where they would, you know, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land of plenty. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does the same thing that he did before. He will do with us. His desire is for us to receive our freedom, to be free from every yoke that is enslaving us. With the children of Israel, they were in bondage to the Egyptians. They were their slaves, and so they were in bondage to this yoke of slavery. And so God heard their cry. He remembered the promises he had given to their forefathers. And so we read the rest of the book of Exodus, and it shows the extraordinary lengths to which God will go to set his people free and keep his promises. The same God who did that for the children of Israel is the same God today. And he will go to extraordinary lengths to deliver us from whatever yoke of slavery that is holding us and keeping us in bondage. In fact, if you go further, you will see later how the prophet Jeremiah was freed from captivity and given several options. So let's go to Jeremiah chapter 40. You know, you'll find that this is also when he was in captivity. And in Jeremiah 40, let's read from verse 1 to verse 4. Jeremiah chapter 40, verse 1 to verse 4. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord. After Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had let him go from Ramah, when he had taken him bound in chains among all who were carried away captive from Jerusalem and Judah, who were taken as exiles to Babylon. And the captain of the guard took Jeremiah and said to him, 'The Lord your God pronounced evil upon this place. Now the Lord has brought it about and has done as he said. It is because you of Judah have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed his voice. Therefore, this thing has come upon you.'" Then let's look at verse 4. It says, "Now see, I am freeing you today, Jeremiah, from the chains upon your hands. If it seems good to you to come with me to Babylon, come, and I will keep an eye on you and look after you well. But if it seems bad to you to come with me to Babylon, then do not do it. Behold, all the land is before you. Wherever it seems good, right, and convenient for you to go, go there." So here we see, you know, that Jeremiah was freed from captivity and given several options. Amen. And so the word "free" in this passage, or "I'm freeing you, you know, from, you know, now look, I free you this day from bondage," or "I'm freeing you today from the chains upon your hands." This word in this passage is the Hebrew word "pathak," meaning to open wide, to loosen, to set free, to release, to untie, and shackle, and liberate. Again, this word, pathak, means it's a Hebrew word meaning to open wide, to loosen, to set free, to release, to untie, to unshackle, or to liberate. Now, through that freedom, that pathak, Jeremiah was not only freed from the captivity that he had been in, but he was then also able to make some choices and begin a whole new process in his life. The shackles had been released and a new door had been opened wide unto him to go through. Right now at this time, we just celebrated Pentecost Sunday, and you normally after Pentecost, there's a door that God has opened, a new door that he's opened wide, and we are designed to walk through it. However, there could be opposition against, us walking through that door. So that's why we need to be super sensitive to the Holy Spirit and hearing what direction he's giving us and what we need to do so that we are not hindered from going through that door. But you can see that this is one of God's patterns of restoration. Amen. So the door was opened wide. He had several options to choose from. If you want to go, it says that now look, I free you this day from the chains that were on your hand. If it seems good to you to come with me to Babylon, then come and I will look after you. But if it seems wrong for you to come with me to Babylon, remain here. See, all the land is before you. Wherever it seems good and convenient to you to go, go there. So he was freed, he was released. The door was opened wide, for him. He was liberated. And so he had a whole new process. He had choices to begin a whole new process in his life. This is what I want us to focus on. Each and every one of us in this new time, in this new season, we have a, opportunity to go through, to begin a whole new process in our lives, whatever may have happened in times past. God is a God of restoration. He's a God of second and third and fourth chances. And he wants us, if you need to start over, this is the time to start over. If you feel that you have been going in the path that God has led you, this is the time to, reposition yourself and get back onto the path that God, has, ordained for you to go on. If you feel like you haven't been, talking to the Holy Spirit and asking him and letting him lead and guide you, well, this is the time to adjust that. This is the time to repent and go back to the Lord. Have the Holy Spirit be your leader and your guide. Let him be in the driver's seat instead of you being in the driver's seat, because he knows how to get you to your destination. He might even take the shorter route. You and I might take a longer route to get there, but he knows how to get us there faster. Now, the most beautiful example of freedom that directly affects each and every one of us today was prophesied by Isaiah of the Lord Jesus. And this is one of the very, familiar scriptures in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse number 1. So if we'll go there this morning, Isaiah 61 and verse number 1. And the Bible reads, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed and qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, the poor, and afflicted. He has sent me to bind up and heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the physical and spiritual captives, and the opening of the prison and of the eyes to those who are bound." Again, we see here Jesus, God has anointed Jesus, to liberate us, to free us from bondage. He comes, God has anointed and qualified him to not only preach the gospel, the good news to us, but and there's categories of people that he's preaching to the meek, to the poor, to the afflicted. God has sent him to bind up and heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty and freedom to those who are physically and spiritually captive, physical and spiritual captives. And so physical could be that physical sickness that the enemy has caused you to be in bondage, or other physical areas, spiritual captives as well. And then the opening of the prison, you know, and of the eyes to those who are bound. When you are in bondage, it's like you're in prison. And so Jesus came to open up the prison doors, you know, to get us released from this captivity, those who are bound. So Jesus releases and liberates us from the dominion of sin and restores us to a right relationship with God the Father. When that happens, the hindrances of restoration are broken. That's the first step. He releases and liberates us from the dominion of sin and restores us to right relationship with the Father. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, that's where you can't receive this restoration unless you're born again, unless you've accepted, you know, Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. When we don't know God as Abba Father and have not yet come into the spirit of adoption that God has for us, we really don't have, you know, the relationship needed to grasp our restoration and everything that comes with it. And that's why it's so important to understand. You see, because many times God starts by dealing with, you know, with us in the area of salvation. We are not going to receive restoration except, you know, our salvation is right. And now, you may have been saved a long time ago. There's nothing wrong with you dedicating your life back to God, making sure that that area is right. If you're backslidden, this is the time to rededicate your life back to God, because once you do that, then God's plan of restoration can begin in our lives. But the first step is salvation, accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now, one of the reasons why it's important for us to, you know, start with salvation is because, you know, then we are, you know, set free from the bondage of sin, because sin resists freedom. But Jesus Christ delivers us into a freedom that reverses our death sentence and starts life in motion. That's why he says, I came that they might have life. Amen. So we must, however, recognize that we are indeed free when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and he frees us. And so, you know, many times we may be unaware that our restraints have been removed after we have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and our Savior. But even when the Lord tries to move us out into our new freedom, we may have a tendency to remain in the safety of the entrenchments that we have created for ourselves. There are times that people who are saved haven't accepted that, you know, God, Jesus has restored them, or Jesus has removed all these different things from their lives, and they continue to operate their lives like they were still in the world. And so one of the things is condemnation. I believe I spoke about that before, that once your relationship with God is restored, your guilt has served its purpose, and it no longer has any place in your life. So you've got to let it go. If you are condemning yourself about the things that you did, you know, well, God can't restore me because, you know what, I went through a divorce, so God can't restore me because I lied about something, or, you know, I stole, or I did this, and or maybe I had an abortion, or I did that, you know. Well, that's, you know, you putting on the garment of condemnation and guilt. And that's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to continue carrying and wearing that garment so that you won't receive, or you won't begin to receive the restoration that God has given us, because that's what guilt and condemnation does. It hinders. It causes us it blocks what God is trying to do. And you've got to remember that Jesus bore our sins and our sicknesses. He went on the cross. Our transgressions were on him, and by his stripes we were healed and not the sick. And, you know, through that, the blood of Jesus has washed us and cleansed us from all unrighteousness. In fact, God says he doesn't remember our sins as far as the east is from the west. He blots them out. You know, a blotter, those of you who remember in times past, when you were typing on a typewriter, if you made an error, you would use like this white liquid to blot out that error, and nobody would know that there was an error there. So you could retype or type over that without anybody ever knowing there was an error. It was called a blotter. Well, this is what God does when Jesus, you know, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, he blots out our sins. He blots out our former life. You know, everything that we did prior to accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he blots it out. And so the enemy, what he's doing is he's trying to make you remember things that God wants you to forget. And he wants you to forget the things that God wants you to remember. And so that's why it's so important that you understand your right relationship with God, that the things that you did in times past, though some may have consequences, you may have set a law in motion, but the things you did in the past, Jesus has forgiven us, God has forgiven us, and now he has brought us into right standing with God, reconciled us back to God. So we have to get rid of condemnation. We've got to get, you know, take off that old garment, you know, because you see, the past, most times we bring it into the future, you know, and the enemy has a spirit called the past that he uses, us bound to our past. And as long as we are tied to our past, we can't move forward into the future and into the things that God wants us to move into. He can't bring that restoration into our lives because we're so bound and tied to our past. And so we need to make sure that we remove that garment of condemnation, that garment of guilt, and then move on. I've talked to people before who will say, well, you know, I know I'm saved, but you know, you don't know what I did before and what I did. Well, did you do these things after you were saved? No. Well, then God says he's blotted it out. He doesn't remember it. So why are you bringing forth something God doesn't even remember? You're the one talking about it. God said in his books, he doesn't even know you did that because he has blotted it out. It doesn't exist anymore. And so if you can realize that God is moving forward and God wants to bring you into this place of restoration, he wants to conduct you to peace and prosperity, then you can begin to receive or begin to walk out what God wants for you and I. But otherwise, if not, you'll keep stuck. You'll be stuck in the past. Oh, you don't know what I did when I was there. Now, there's nothing wrong with us, you know, making sure that we don't make the same mistakes we made in times past and using our past as a reference point to make sure that going forward, we don't enter into those sins or don't open that door. But when you live there and camp there, and so you need your mind to be renewed, amen, in order for you to be positioned correctly to receive what God has for you in this hour, in this season, your mind needs to be renewed. So step number one, what we need to understand is that in the process of restoration that God has for us, restoring us to the power of a new life, we need to understand that Christ has set us free. He's liberated us, and he does want to liberate us from the yoke of slavery, the yoke, the bonds of wickedness that have held us captive, whatever, you know, has held you in prison. God wants you to be free. That's the first step in God's process of restoration. As we continue by God's grace tomorrow morning, we will look at the next step after this step of, you know, what is the other thing? What is the other area where God wants to bring us out of? When he talks about he wants to bring us out of captivity and out of the prison houses, what are those other areas? So we'll look at that tomorrow by his grace. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. We are out of time, and we'll come back tomorrow morning by God's grace. Be blessed.